Hello, everyone. Happy Thursday. Happy Q&A day. Hope everybody's doing well. It is rainy here with me. If you hear any whimpering in the background, I'm keeping my daughter's dog. He is a puppy, and it has not gone well for me today. I've already been to the pet store. It has been quite the ordeal. However, I am super glad that I'm here with y'all tonight answering your questions. So if you have any questions, you can post them in the Q&A and I will be happy to answer them. We will not be doing any live coaching tonight. If you would like to talk in the chat, that is perfectly fine. Just make sure that you have selected all panelists and attendees. So that everyone can see what you're saying and y'all can talk amongst each other. I did something today that I have not done yet, and it is listen to the accountability course. And I will tell you, oh my goodness, it is so good. So for all of y'all who like the idea that I have like the cheerleader in my brain and all that kind of stuff that cheers me on all the time, that's exactly what this is about. You know, it's all about the stories that you tell yourself, how you speak to yourself. Oh, it's so phenomenal. It is the greatest. It's really good. Like, it is really good. I was thinking today when I was listening to it, I was like, how can we just make everybody listen to it? Because it is really that good. And if you just understand the concept of listening to your brain, realizing what is your story and what is an actual fact, it will change absolutely everything for you. I know it did for me, and I am telling you, it is off the chain. It is really such a great, great course. Corinne has absolutely outdone herself with this course, and I wish I would have had it when I was losing weight. It's really good. So if you have not done it, listen to it. Do yourself a big favor and head over there and listen to it. So we have a couple questions already, and I will answer those. And I will, just keep answering. So go ahead and put your questions in the Q&A, and we will get started. So I will answer questions until 7 o'clock, my time, 6 o'clock Eastern. So somebody is asking a question. I just can't seem to get these first 5 pounds off. So I have a question. How are you with your hunger scale? How are you with planning? What does your data look like? All of those things. So if you want to post back down, because really it is a lot about going ahead and making your realistic plans, sticking to them, making sure that you're getting some water in if you are not already doing that. Sleep is so important. It's the four basics, right? Like, you have got to, just start trying to identify your hunger scale, eating when you're hungry and stopping when you're satisfied. Somebody's asking, how do I ask a question? Go down at the bottom of your screen, you'll see Q&A, and you just click on that and you can ask a question in there. That is where I am. Darian, what do you think about not doing a weekly weigh-in, just a monthly? I'm telling myself that the weekly weigh-in is sabotaging me. That's your thought. So you want to get to where you do not have any drama around the scale. It's just a number, right? It is the end, it's the last data that you collect for that week. So it is really an opportunity for you to go back and see what you did. Where were you struggling this week? Where do you need to level up? What can you do differently next week to make weight loss easy? That is the beauty of weighing in every week. Monthly weigh-ins are fine if that is what you choose to do and it's what serves you, but not out of fear. Because whenever you, whenever you're doing something out of fear or you're thinking that something is sabotaging you, that is not a place that you want to come from whenever you're looking at your weight loss, because basically you're just beating yourself up whenever you weigh. And that is not a a healthy or loving place to come from. So you really want to ask yourself, what thoughts am I having that make me, you know, feel sabotaged? You know, why is it discouraging you instead of encouraging you to find out what you can do differently? Right? It's about the conversation that you have in your head once you step on the scale. And of course, you know, you have momentary disappointment, but immediately you're like, you know what? This is just a great opportunity for me to look and see what I can do differently next week. Where can I level up? You know, what does my data show me? Look back at your habit tracker. What did it tell you? So, you know, what did it tell you? Do you need to get more sleep? How many times did you overeat? You know, if you overate 15 times last week, then your goal could be, you know, you only want to have 12 overeats next week. It's 1% small level ups. So you want to make sure that you're not doing all of the things and trying to change everything at once. Change one thing at a time, one small thing at a time. And the only way you can do that is by monitoring your weight, seeing what the data tells you, and then, you know, seeing what you can level up for next time. It is a great way to practice self-love. You know, this is the number on the scale. It is just here to show me something. I'm going to listen. I'm going to go back and look, see what it tells me. That's what I would suggest doing. Christy, I have been working 2 to 2, especially plus 2, and since Monday have felt so tired. In addition, I have no sugar for at least 4 of the days. Is there a period of adjustment that happens when you go off sugar? Absolutely, there is. 110% there is. When you go off sugar, if you decide to lay off of the sugar, you can have physical withdrawals. That is absolutely common. And then you're saying that you felt tired. Make sure that you're getting in plenty of water and listen to your body. If it's tired, go to bed a little bit earlier. You know, make sure that you're getting your rest during this transition of getting rid of sugar, because it really will give you a dip and make you be tired. Just the same thing as like caffeine. If you go off caffeine, you get a headache. There's absolutely a physical processes that happen in your body whenever you eliminate one food group, especially like sugar and caffeine. So just really listen to your body and love it through it. It can take, you know, a couple weeks, even if you're going to get off sugar, to get your body to adjust. So yeah, that is absolutely a thing. You're exactly right. Kara, I haven't made a plan in days. I don't have food prepped and everything feels too hard. How do I change my thinking around this and make a realistic plan? So you have you're thinking that everything is too hard. Like, this is too hard. It's not going to work. All that kind of stuff. If you go, Corinne was talking about that in the accountability course that I listened to, the Mastering Accountability course today. It's just a story that you're telling yourself. It's not too hard, right? That can't be a fact, because there are so many people who are members who are making their plan and following it every day. So hard is just something that you're thinking, right? It's not the truth at all. And sometimes, you know, like I was saying a second ago, what is one way I can make weight loss easy today? If you haven't made a plan in days, write a super realistic plan. What do I think I'm going to want to eat tomorrow? And just write it down. And even if you don't follow the plan, at least you've written a plan, right? Or even if you just plan a meal, plan breakfast, plan something, because it sounds like you're in overwhelm. The only way to get out of overwhelm is to take action and to start collecting those little wins. You need to show yourself that it is not too hard. You can start somewhere. Now, if you're going from, you know, 0 to 60, it might be difficult. But if you just pick one thing, like, what can I do to love myself today enough that I'm willing to move towards my goals? What is one thing I can do today to show myself love and care and show myself that I can keep a commitment to myself? What is the commitment you want to make to yourself tomorrow? Is it water? Is it going to bed on time tonight? What is it? If you haven't made a plan in days, make a plan right this minute. What are you going to do between now and when you go to bed? It is never too late to make a plan. Tomorrow will never come. It will never be here. Tomorrow will be today. You will never find a tomorrow to start. You have to start right now. So, Kara, I want you to get back in here and post. What is your plan through the rest of the night? And then you can no longer say, I haven't made a plan in days, because you made a plan today, right? You made a plan today. If you just type it in here, you have made a plan. That is day one in your, you know, in your planning streak. You will have one under your belt. That's all you need. And then you know what you do when you write that plan in here? You celebrate the shit out of it. And you become the badass who at 6 o'clock Eastern wrote a damn plan, because your goals are that important to you that you decided that I am not a person who goes to bed without making a plan. I love myself that much that I've made a plan for the rest of the day. And if you want wine and ice cream and ding dongs and Doritos, you write every bit of that down. I didn't say it had to be a plan, you know, the perfect plan. It's got to be the plan that you are willing to commit to from now until you rest your head tonight. And then you can rest your head proud knowing that you got on here, you reached out, and you made a plan. And then you got one day. One day. That's all you need is one day. They're asking what course. I was talking about the Mastering Accountability course, the one that we're kind of talking about this month. We're kind of going through this month. It talks about accountability to yourself. It's the first, it's like a 45-minute video. If you are wanting to listen to it on the Private Member Podcast, it was just updated. Mine updated automatically. Some people do have an issue with it updating, and they have to like delete the podcast and then reinstall it. But mine updated automatically today. So mine usually has, but I know some people do have an issue with it. So you may have to do that, but it is so good. There are some worksheets in there about how to be accountable to yourself. And then the second video is about how to be accountable in a group. You can either, you know, whether you're like setting up accountability in your own life with people that are around you, or whether you're using the accountability that we provide, that you can sign up for on the website under community. And there's a link there that you can go and sign up to be grouped together with an accountability group. And then some of you already have accountability groups, and like they've kind of gone awry. You know, like y'all are in there talking about, you know, your grandmother and like what an ass your boss is and all this other stuff. It's a great way as a group, if you already have one, to go through that course and set up parameters. Corinne gives you like this whole layout about, you know, how long a video should be. And if you need to leave, what does that look like? Like, it's really, really good. So you could go in there and listen about all things, either self-accountability or group accountability. It's very good. I hate planning, but great with hunger. Why do you hate planning? That's what I want to know. Planning is the way to weight loss. That's like saying, I don't want to lose my weight. You know what? And at first, you don't have to love planning. It's going to feel weird. It's going to be like, I've never done this before. This is so strange. I don't know. I don't know what I want to write. You know what, though? The only way to know what you're going to write is to start writing. Start writing something down. What did you eat today? Did you go to the vending machine at work 3 times? Write it down tomorrow. Corinne did a coaching on, I think it was Sunday, when she was talking about restriction. It was so good. She was talking about, and I even answered and asked coaches questions. Like, if you think that planning, writing in your plan is restriction, then you need to realize that whenever you don't write a plan, what you're restricting yourself from. You're restricting yourself from weight loss. You're restricting yourself from keeping promises to yourself. You're restricting yourself from learning how to write a realistic plan. So, you know, I want to know why you hate planning. What do you think about planning that is like so, it's so terrible that you hate it so much? I would like to know the answer to that. Allison, I'm diabetic and have a fear of carbs. How do I get rid of that fear while I'm trying to heal my health trying to heal my relationship with food. So this is what I want you to do. You know, you have your blood sugars and you keep those regulated, and you and your doctor have decided exactly what that looks like for you and, you know, what your parameters are and all that other kind of stuff. So you're probably in better shape right now because you're planning, right? Like before, you know, I do physical therapy. And so I deal with diabetics all the time, and they'll be like, my sugar's up. Well, what would you eat yesterday? Well, I don't really know. You know, like they have really no idea. You are going to be like, my sugar is up. Wonder what I ate yesterday. And you'll be able to look straight back and be like, oh my gosh, this is what I ate. Maybe that affects my sugar. And then you can, you know, try not planning that, or try to up level that whatever it was, you know, that you ate that you noticed increased your sugar. You're going to have like every bit of data that you need in order to really have a great relationship with food and with your blood sugars, because you're going to be able to look back at all of your data and you're going to have everything written down, and you can be like, you know what? I had a little bit of extra carbs yesterday. My sugar is up. I'm going to need to tweak that. This is such great information to have, right? Like you have everything that you need in order to be successful in weight loss and to take care of your, manage your diabetes. Like what a gift you're giving to yourself, right? Like it is, you know, do you hear my story about your diabetes? I mean, it's a lot different, you know, than like fear and all that kind of stuff. It's really curiosity, because if you're really managing your blood sugar and you're writing down your plan every day, you have everything that you need to tweak anything that needs to be tweaked every single day. So you are in great shape. Yeah, you're just collecting data. Just collecting data. That's all you're doing. Azizi, how long until I can really stop the self-beatdowns for overeats or off-plan eats? It's up to you. It's completely up to you. It's the story that you tell yourself, right? The minute that you hear yourself saying that, you can just immediately stop. Because it doesn't become a beatdown until you have thought after thought after thought after thought, right? Like, so you overeat, and your brain goes to, you're never going to get this. And then you're like, oh, hell no. I'm not listening to that anymore. I'm done with you. That's not a beatdown. That's just a thought that you stopped. And then 5 minutes later, it says, do you really think this is ever going to work for you? And you're like, yes, I do. That's not a beatdown. That's just a thought. So it can stop the minute you want it to stop. As soon as you're ready for it to stop, it stops. And you may have to hear the thought 1,000 times and remind yourself that it's just crap. Delete. I'm done. It's not true. So you get to decide when it stops. It's a challenge because I feel like I need to restrict myself with paleo whenever I gain weight. No. I mean, then you delete, right? You know, that's not true. And the other thing is too, if you, you know, if Weight Watchers and paleo helped you lose weight, would you not have already lost it by now? That's what I always remind myself. Whenever I was losing my weight and I would start to get squirrely because the thing wouldn't go down or whatever, hell, I've already tried it. It didn't work. Like, I know it doesn't work because I've done it already. How about sticking in this lane for a minute and learning how to, you know, speak to myself and liking to be in my own head? That's what I say. Jillian. I have a question about the weekend. I'm okay with not drinking wine during the week. This is new as of 2 months ago. Before, I was drinking daily, but on the weekends, I overdrink. What questions can I ask myself to figure out what the weekends mean to me? That's what I would ask myself. What do the weekends mean to me? What am I wanting to get out of this weekend? What is the goal for me? How do I want to feel on Sunday night or Monday morning? Those kind of things. That's what I would be asking myself. I feel like I give up control when the weekend comes because I don't know exactly why I should plan the way I do for weeknights. You don't have to plan the way that you do for weeknights. You know, I don't, I'll have wine on the weekends. And as a matter of fact, I don't drink during the week. I have planned wine tonight because they are doing something with Alex Karev on Grey's Anatomy. And I'm just not even sure how I feel about that. So I planned wine tonight. Normally I don't, but I did tonight. So, and that's okay. Like, I just decided this was a Thursday night that I was going to drink and watch Grey's Anatomy, drink wine. So that's what I'm going to do. A couple of things that you can do on the weekends. So Corinne has taught this a couple of ways over the time, because, you know, I was a daily wine drinker. There's a couple things you can do. She has taught it so that you set a time that you're going to drink. And that's how I started out, like with a time. I'm going to drink from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's it. And I didn't count my drinks. That's how I really started. That was like my level up originally for weekends. And I would not count my drinks. I would just say I'm drinking during this time. And then I took some time off my window to a more kind of reasonable window. And then I started kind of planning my drinks. So now usually on the weekends, I plan for like 3 glasses of wine. Like that's my normal. And I always, I have gotten in the habit of having water in between each glass of wine. So it makes the time spread out longer. And look, I am not ashamed because I'm not drinking by myself. I'll get in the car with my friends, or if me and my husband are going out to dinner, I'll be like, look, this is what I've committed to. I need you to help me. I need you to help me stay on track. I'm committing to 3 drinks. And that is what I want. I want you to help me keep track of it. So that's something else that you could do whenever on the weekends. But you shouldn't have to plan like you do during the week. You don't have to plan like you do during the week. You know, you can plan it. I'm going out with my friends tomorrow night, having in, you know, stuff that I wouldn't normally eat during the week. So, So when you overdrink on the weekends, you need a plan. You need to decide going in. You need to know that you're going to be uncomfortable. You need to sign up for discomfort. It's going to feel strange. You're going to want to drink more. And that's okay, right? Like, just like when you're eating and then you want to eat more. It's okay. It doesn't mean you have to. But you go in with a solid plan. If this is what I'm going to do. And if you overdrink, fill out a discovery worksheet. Ask yourself, what was going on? What was I thinking? Who was I around? Start noticing patterns that you see. It's the same thing with overeating as it is with overdrinking. So that's where I would start if I was you. If I were you, Jillian. Alina, that's a pretty name. I am new. Do I just continue with no BS or do I check out that accountability thing that Corinne put out? This is what I will tell you. She actually answered this question on Sunday on her call. Especially the self-accountability portion, it's a 45-minute video. And it goes hand in hand with no BS. I would, if I were you, and this was what Corinne recommended the other day, stop where you are at no BS, schedule out 45 minutes to listen to the self-accountability course and listen to it, and then jump right back into no BS where you were. So, and really that is all I would worry about. Like, you know, all this info is kind of overwhelming. Really, this self-accountability goes into the thought work. It's the stories that you tell yourself, what you're saying about yourself, all that kind of stuff. It goes hand in hand with phase 2 of no BS. And I think it just really complements phase 2. So that's what I would do. And that's what Corinne suggested the other day on her call. And it really, that the lessons that she teaches in there are like, to move into phase 2 of no BS, you will be armed with great information moving into it. So I would 100% just kind of, you know, press pause on no BS for a minute, 45 minutes of this accountability whenever you get a chance, and then go right back into no BS. Because you want to get that, you know, that's where the weight loss happens, right, is no BS. So you want to go ahead and get through with that one and make that your focus. But, you know, don't get squirrely with all these calls. this call that I'm on right now, it will be on the website 3 months from now, 6 months from now. And all of it still will be relevant, right? So all the coaching calls, all the extra model calls, all of that kind of stuff, don't feel like you have to be at all of it because it's always right there. No BS is your main focus, always, always, always. Red Senyo. I don't know what these names sometimes, y'all. Do you do a discovery worksheet if you add something to your 24-hour plan? I was hungry and added a snack. It's up to you. If you are really, really, if you were at your, you know, negative two, I might even fill one out and say, like, why did I choose not to wait a little bit longer? Why didn't I eat my next, you know, meal a little bit earlier? Like, were there thoughts around it? Try to figure that out and make sure that you, you know, if you know that this afternoon you got hungry and you needed a snack, then make sure you plan for a snack tomorrow. Anytime you do a discovery worksheet, I mean, you probably had a thought like, I can't make it to the next meal. I'm going to starve. Like, whatever it is. Like, I mean, it never hurts to figure out like what you were thinking. And it could be, you could be completely happy with what you were thinking, right? Like, this is like a choice I made. I feel good about it. And that's fine. It doesn't have to be. The discovery worksheet could be that you discover something awesome, right? That like, you're a person who just decided to have a snack. You just didn't plan enough. You'll know next time to plan something. Or you can just, you know, make a note of it. Whatever it is. If you were like 5 hours from home, you really didn't have anything to eat, you were starving, like, then that's okay, right? But you do want to make a note of it so that you know that you might need to start, you know, you may need to have a snack sometimes, especially in whatever situation. That's the good thing about the discovery worksheet is it breaks down like, who was around me? What was I doing? Like all that kind of stuff so that you can start to see a pattern. That's the really good benefit of the discovery worksheet. Azizi, how can I stop making my stories such a shit show? I just listened to Mastering Accountability, but I'm a January newbie. I would listen to it again, Mastering Accountability. I mean, it really is as simple as it's delete. Or is this true? That's my favorite question. Is this true? You know, you're never going to lose your weight. Is that true? No, it's not true. I can follow my 24-hour plans and do all the things and it'll be completely fine. Right? So yeah, you just have to keep, it just takes practice. Changing your thoughts. It's not like I've done an intentional model. Here's my brand new thought. I'm going to think it from now on. It is work to think that thought. It is redirecting your brain over and over and over again. Have y'all ever started a new job? Like, I remember whenever I started with home health and I had like this tablet that I had to like, it was all the paperwork was brand new. Everything was like, it was all brand new. I had to change the way that I was thinking and the way that I was doing things. It was physically an easier job. I was exhausted for like 6 weeks. I was so tired. It's because my brain was working all day. And I was trying to figure out like, where do I put this? And then how do I write this? And what do I say here? And where do I get like all the things? It was mentally exhausting. So it is just as hard, you know, to redirect your brain as many times as it takes. And it takes a while. The new thought just does not start to appear. Janine, I have had a difficult month with one medical diagnosis after another. I struggle with the thought, why bother? I eat really well, move, drink, sleep, and it doesn't seem to make a difference. I need a new thought. Can you please help? Sure. Why do you bother? Why? Because your health is important? Because your goals are important? Because weight loss is important to you? I mean, those are your compelling reasons. That's why you're bothering. Right? That's the question you want to ask yourself. Why am I doing this? Because I want to, you know, be a better version of myself, right? I want to be a person who keeps promises to herself and loses her weight. I want to be a person who figures this out. Right? I want to be a person, you know, who keeps data and can level it up. So if you're eating really well, moving, drinking, sleep, and it doesn't seem to make a difference, then you need to ask yourself, am I drinking enough water? Can I level it up with 8 more ounces? Could I get to bed 30 minutes earlier? Like, what could you do? How are you with your hunger scale? Could you leave 2 bites behind at your meals and see if maybe what you think is your +2 is actually your +3 or +4? Because sometimes that happens. You know, you think that it is, and then you leave a few bites and you're like, oh, that's why Corinne does those hunger scale challenges. Because it helps you like recalibrate what you think is actually your, you know, +2. And you realize, oh gosh, like I'm eating 3 extra bites. And Corinne says in the phase 4 of No BS, the difference between weight loss and maintenance is legit like 2 or 3 bites at a meal. That's it. That is it. So that's where I would look, Janine. Is this Michelle? Hi, MJ. I have been struggling with overeating and drinking on Friday nights. I've been telling myself that I deserve a treat after a long week at work. I planned realistically for these nights and will often stick to them, but I do tend to overeat. I think I need a new thought to help me stick to my 2 to 2. Any suggestions? I would really ask myself, whenever you hear, I deserve a treat, be like, no, what do I deserve? What do you deserve? I mean, you know, that's exactly what I would ask myself. That would be like my trigger thought, I deserve a treat, would be my trigger thought, what do I deserve? And I would even, if you know that this happens a lot on Friday nights, on Friday morning, guess what my TDL would be? What do I really deserve? That would be exactly what I would write about. I would write a timer and I would write a list of what I deserve for 5 minutes. You know, I deserve to keep promises to myself. I deserve to follow my plan. I deserve to go to bed proud. I deserve to wake up proud. You know, I would just really, you know, what do you deserve? And I would write about that. And then, you know, I would honestly, because, you know, I'm the sticky note queen, I would put it on my wine. What do I deserve? Or I would put it on my refrigerator. What do I deserve? That's really the question you want to ask yourself. That on that discovery worksheet, y'all, that's my favorite question. When I said yes to this overeat, what am I saying no to? I'm like, mic drop, Corinne. Because really, it changes. Because you're always, if you say yes to something, you're always saying no to a whole bunch more stuff, right? Like if you say yes to a ho-ho, you are saying no to 15 things. You're saying no to your goals. You're saying no to weight loss. You're saying no to, like, it blows my mind whenever you really sit down. And the thought, like, I deserve it, I've had a long week, sounds so true. But when you think about what you really deserve, it is crazy. It is crazy. Somebody says they love the color of my hair. Don't get used to it. I call my hair 5-week hair. It's never been this color before. It may never be this color again. I go next Wednesday or Thursday. Who knows? Who knows? I think I have a call that night. Y'all have to get on here and see what color my hair is, because you never know. Never, never know. Tony, how do you deal with an urge to overeat in an event that is 2 days away? I have been working to plan more realistically, but I feel like I'm still looking towards Saturday evening without my kids as time for relief. My discovery worksheet shows a major pattern with overeating at social events, and I'm trying to figure out how to plan realistically to move past this. I will tell you where your poison thought is, that you are looking for relief. If you spend all week long with the thought, these kids are so stressful, I don't even know, this is crazy, but you know what? I'm going to get relief. I'm going to get relief in a couple of days. I don't have to put up with this anymore. In 2 days, 3 days, I'm like, I've got this. I just have to hang on. Just have to hang on. Right? That's where this whole like phase two of thought work and all that kind of stuff. How can you find relief every day? And relief from what? Like, if you're looking for relief, it's like something is so unbearable that I need relief. So I would start looking at what is unbearable and how can you change your thoughts around that? How can I enjoy my life today? How can I navigate through my life today? How can I enjoy my kids today? What can I do for self-care today? Like, love yourself all through the week. Because if you are like, I just got to get to Saturday, Saturday comes and this girl's gone wild up in there. Because you've been miserable all week and not enjoying what you have all week long just to get yourself to Saturday. So that's what I would do. I would start looking at the story that you're telling yourself all week long about what you think is so terrible. What do you need relief from? And those are the areas that you really need to work on. Because of the story that you're telling yourself all week long, you're just ginning yourself up to need relief. That's where I would start. Carrie, I have trouble with TDLs and models because I seem to just spew crap. That's me too. I then tend to sit in it. I prefer journaling as my future self and make the day positive. Do I need to write down all the crappy stuff? That's the stuff you should be writing down. It's crappy stuff. And then decide, is this the story that I want to keep telling myself? Because the version of you right now, I can promise you, your future self is telling you, figure out the crappy thoughts so that you can get here where I am right now. That's what she's telling you. If she's telling you, like, let's just fluff over everything and we won't really work on the terrible thoughts that we're having, because even whenever you're writing from your future self, the beauty of the TDL and the models, it's just what is playing on a loop in your head. And you're seeing it on paper where you can actually do something about it. When you are not writing that stuff down, it is in the back of your head on a loop, on a loop, on a loop, all the time. And those models are still running on a loop, all the time. And when you can get them out on paper and be like, where the hell did that come from? Oh my God, I can't believe I wrote that down. That's the biggest load of crap I've ever seen. You get the opportunity to call bullshit on it and move along. But as long as it's spinning back there and you don't see it, it's still there. It doesn't mean it's not there. So that's what you need to work on. Write the crap down. And then call bullshit on it. Delete it if you need to. Rewrite the story of it. Ask yourself what's really going on. Change the stories that you're telling yourself. Because a lot of times it's just not true. And we just believe that it's true. So when you write it down and you're able to look at it on paper, you're like, wait a minute, that's not even true. That's not even what happened. But as long as it's in your brain, it's very difficult to pull it out. Mama Mac, I like that. I overate last night and did a discovery worksheet on it. I beat myself up even after it. Then I didn't run this morning because I had my dad's surgery this morning at 6 a.m. A great choice. But I beat myself up for not getting up earlier. Ran when I got home, though, because I was sick of thinking about not doing it. Even my husband said I need to stop beating myself up. How do I get past the beat up? Have you listened to that accountability course? It's just the story you tell in your head. Because I'm going to tell y'all, I didn't run this morning. I was tired. I did not sleep well last night. It was raining, which I normally do run in the rain. I have been doing heavy leg workouts the past couple of times at the Orange Theory. And I was like, you know what? It's rainy. It's wet. My legs are so sore. I'm afraid I might fall, literally. I'm like, not make it. So I walked instead. But I'm not beating myself up. It was a choice I made. your dad had surgery. You made a choice. You chose your dad. That's okay. It's fine. You overate last night. This is what you need to go for. What did you learn? Focus on, you know, what did I learn from this overeat and what can I take moving forward? Right? Because if you're stuck in, you're a piece of crap, you're never going to get it, you suck, blah, 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 you're not putting your brain to work on the solution. And if you've been overeating, then you absolutely want a solution, right? You want to know what you're doing. You want to look at it and say, like, oh gosh, what could I do differently next time? It's just collecting data, y'all. That's all it is. You overate. So what were you thinking? What are you going to do differently next time? How are you going to show up better? Like, those are the questions. Not like, how does this prove that I'm a piece of crap? Right? Like, that's not, Corinne talks about like the right question, the right answer on this accountability course. The right question is, what can I learn from this and move forward? And then you put your brain to work on all the things that you can do differently next time and move forward. Instead of, you know, just the verbal beatdown. Your brain will continue the loop for you. So if you started on the path of like, you're no good, you're never going to get this, all that kind of stuff, then, you know, that's what your brain will keep spinning for you because it's good like that. Whatever path you send it on, whatever question you give it to answer, it will completely take care of that for you because it loves you sometimes. Sometimes I think it's fighting against us, but you know, that's just my thought sometimes, but really will. If you just, it's like a computer. If you feed it the right information, if you feed it the right question, it will give you the right answer. Sandy, what's the website Corinne talks about for workouts? I'm not sure. Does anybody know in here? We'll ask in here. And if not, Sandy, I will find out and I will post in the Facebook group. Are you on Facebook? Fitness Blender. Thank you very much, Mama Mac. And, oh, look, everybody now is saying fitness. I'm the only one that couldn't think of it. Fitness Blender. Christy. Hi again. I have finished the No BS course. I now spend my time taking the bonus courses, talking to accountability partners, and listening to the podcast. I'm losing mental weight and finally the physical weight. See, that's how it works. Today is my birthday. Happy birthday. My birthday's at the end of the month. Us March babies, we got it going on. Go ahead. Today is my birthday and my husband and I are celebrating our anniversary this weekend. That's awesome. Oh my gosh, it's a twofer. I put all the things on my plan for the next couple days to account for these celebrations. Perfect, because I've not been eating sugar. I'm a little worried. What are you worried about? This is the whole thing. You start eating sugar, right? And you have not been eating sugar. Will your scale go up? Yeah, probably. It probably will go up. Now, if you eat within your hunger scale during that time and you make sure that you're drinking your water, you may notice that it just comes right back off whenever you go back to eating like you normally eat. And I would even work this weekend like I do. I don't know if you're a daily weigher, Christy. But I also do that. Like if I'm going somewhere on a trip, I don't weigh for that many days once I get back. So like if you were going out, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I wouldn't weigh Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I wouldn't wait till next Friday. See what happens. You know, I know like, and this will be great for you to know, like, what does sugar do to me? If you've not been eating sugar, you may notice the next day you crave sugar a little bit more after you've included sugar. A lot of people feel that way. Like if they're a person who does not eat sugar, you know, ever or rarely, and then they have like birthday cake or something like that, the next day or two, expect some more cravings and some more urges for sugar. You'd be like, "Ooh, where have you been? I've been missing you." And then it'll like, you'll be like seeing all things sugar. You'll be like, "Ooh, I gotta have that, gotta have that." So you may have to manage your mind a little bit. That's normal. Happens all the time. And then you may notice that your weight goes up. Just like me. If I choose to eat Chinese, I'd be up 3 or 4 pounds the next day. I just know I will. But in the next few days, it'll come right back off. So I don't freak out about it. But you know what happened the first time I had Chinese and I was losing weight and I gained 4 pounds? I was like, oh my God, what has happened? And then I'm like, I'm just going to see what happens. I'm just going to wait, see what happens. And now I know that happens every single time. So this is great. Like, you're going to get to collect data about what happens when you eat sugar. You're going to know all the things about it. You're going to become an expert in Christy and sugar after this weekend. It's perfect. That's a great, I mean, it's good. You'll have all of that data so that next time you decide to include sugar, you'll be like, and I know that I can expect this. And this is probably what's going to happen. And it's okay. So that's great. Just go at it with curiosity, with data collection, maybe increase your water a little bit. See what happens. Angela, I'm really struggling to find out how I can lose it like I'll live it. I feel like I'm planning realistically, but I'm not losing. Do you have any suggestions on how to make this less of a shit show? It's not a shit show. You're figuring stuff out, right? How is figuring stuff out a shit show? It's just, I'm making a plan. I'm not losing weight. I need to look at it, see what I can tweak. That's all that's happened. So I would start with one thing. Your hunger scale, maybe. If you're sure, my easy side is the -2. I know for 100% when I'm at my -2, I never question it, never really did. I've never had a hard time finding my -2. Some people do. So if you're a person who has a hard time finding a -2, then you may want to try the on-clock challenge. And when you think you're hungry, drink some water, wait an hour, see where you're at. If you are great with your -2, then that's not where you need to start. You might want to start with your +2. Keep planning exactly what you're planning. Do exactly what you're doing now, but just leave a couple bites at each meal. Maybe approach snacks with curiosity. Could I maybe leave off this one snack today? See how I feel. See what it does to the scale. Like, what could you do? And really, it's like a puzzle. It's like figuring out what works for me, what works for my body, what serves me, what doesn't serve me. It is really just about, you know, trying to hone in on all that stuff. And if you are a person, if you're eating chocolate 4 times a day, you could maybe with like curiosity, wonder what happens if I take away one of my chocolates and I replace it with something else, carrots or, you know, an apple or whatever. What happens when I do that? And just see, because you've got your, you know, you've got your planning down, which is awesome. And now you just need to look at your data, see what you're doing and ask yourself, what is one thing that I can do tomorrow to kind of level this plan up? You know, what could I do? And do that one thing and see what happens. Anonymous, I have a fear of driving. It's really hindering me. I am 32. How can I get rid of this? I often get so mad that I eat and eat and eat some more. You know what? I'm scared of driving on the interstate, y'all. I just don't like it. I don't like it. It's big trucks. I don't like it. A fear of driving. So what is your thoughts about it? What's going to happen when you're driving? That's what I want to know. If you are still on here, Anonymous, tell me what your thoughts are about driving. Like, what is going to, you know, what is going to happen? You know, it could be, I'm going to get in a wreck. You could just say, like, it's the same thing, like your story around food, your story around whatever story you're telling yourself. You know, I'm scared of driving because I think whatever, and that's okay. And that's okay. I can be a little bit nervous about driving and still drive. You can look at all the evidence around you of people who drive and do just fine driving. And nothing bad happens to them, right? You just have to ask yourself, you know, do I want to believe that this is really going to happen to me? How is this serving me? How else could I think about it? What other story could I think about it? So if you have a thought that you want to insert, I will answer a little bit better with your thought. Jessica, I have been a member since June and I haven't had any weight loss. I maintained until December and then I gained 10 pounds over the holidays. I know that the thought work is helping me and the overeats and off-plan eats have significantly decreased. That's good. However, I still haven't lost any weight. What thought or question can I ask myself that might help with patience or frustration with lack of weight loss progress? You know, I've been talking about that kind of all night. Like, what can I do? What is one thing that I'm willing to level up? What's one thing that I can level up and see what happens? You know, I'm telling y'all, if you're planning and assessing and it's a realistic plan and you're sleeping and you're getting your water, I would really just nail on that hunger scale. That's exactly where I would start every single time. And just say, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to lose this for the rest of my life. Like, I've already seen all of these changes. So I know this works. Now I just have to apply it to my food. So that's where I would start with that. Jessica. Hi, MJ. I have been loving watching you as a coach these past few weeks. Thank you so very much. I am an August 2017 member, and I originally lost 18 pounds, but in the last year, I've gained that back plus another 10. I eat off plan when I'm not hungry at work every day because we have a lot of free snack. Are they free? Girl, change the story. It ain't free, is it? It's costing you, isn't it? It's not free. What are you paying for it? You're paying for it every single time, right? Nothing is free. Food is never free. You're paying a high price for that free food. It's not free. Okay, that's my tangent. Today I put the goldfish crackers I normally eat on my plan, but I ate 3 servings plus raisinette, 3 string cheeses in my plan, breakfast, lunch, and fruit. I'm definitely procrastinating, girl. Avoiding doing the tasks I don't want, but it feels like a terrible habit I'll never kick. Story, delete. I have 0 belief I'll stop, 0 belief I'll lose weight. All right. First thing, get rid of free food. And every time you look at that free food, how much am I paying for this? What's this costing me? It's costing. It's coming at a steep price. Right? That's what I would be asking myself. Yeah. That is the first story I would change. And I would be curious if you keep telling yourself, if every time you walk up to that snack thing and you go to pick up those raisinettes or whatever it is, and you say, how much is this really costing me? I wonder how much of that would stop with that one simple shift of your mind. Because it ain't free. I'm telling you. That's the first thing I would change. See what happens. I would be curious to find out. Rebecca, I'm having a problem eating too many sweets. I'm having them every day and I'm having more sweet stuff than leads to weight loss. Would your method of reducing the wine help with this? Or is there, it's a 1% level up. So I'm eating, you know, 5 sweets, whatever it is, 5 candy bars every day. I'm going to eat today. I'm going to plan for 4 candy bars. And I'm going to want that 5th one and it's going to feel like crap. But I'm only eating 4. It's the 1%, y'all. Corinne used to say, when I joined, or one of the first things I ever heard her say was, you cannot go from Big Macs to broccoli overnight. It's very true. It's very true. If you are planning all of the sweets and all of the things, it doesn't just, you can't just be like, and I'm done. No, that's not how it works. You just start to level yourself, you know, up by going down in the amount you're eating a little bit at a time. And you deal with the urge when it comes. It's going to come. If you're eating 5 candy bars a day and you decide you're going to eat 3 candy bars a day, you're going to have an urge. You're going to want the other 2 candy bars. It's your habit. That's what you're going to want to eat. You're going to have to say no. That is when leveling up your plan, like that's when it works so well, because you're not like trying to eat, you know, oh my God, I've lost, now I've given up all my sweets. Like, just give up one or two, like me with my wine, right? I went from a bottle a day to a bottle every 2 days. And I'm going to tell y'all, you know what happened? Day one of I'm going to open up one bottle every 2 days, the whole bottle got gone. And guess what happened the next night? There was no wine. You want to talk about a hard day? That was a hard day. There were a lot of thoughts. I called my girlfriends. It was a mess. But I was committed. I was like, no. Tomorrow, you can open up another bottle. You're going to get through tonight, and then tomorrow you're going to open up another bottle. And exactly what I did. But it was not that I had urges. I mean, I really did. It was hard. But I just sat there and I was like, this is what I committed to. This is the person that I want to be. This is what it takes to lose my weight. This is what it takes to make a commitment to myself and keep it. And I was all in with that discomfort. I was all in with it. And I just let it come. And I felt it for a while. This dog is crying. Can y'all hear this dog crying? My daughter's dog. Oh, God bless her. Kristen, after you hit goal, did you still have mental work around your eating that needed cleaning up as long as you may? Yes, I did. I'm maintaining, but I'm working on my unconscious eating and also my judgment of that unconscious overeating. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I got to maintenance. I'm like, now I can have all the food. Now I can go out and just eat crap a couple of days a week. So excited. You know, we used to plan exceptions. I'm going to plan exception twice a week. The end of the month, I was up 8 pounds. What the hell happened to me? I sure did. And if y'all saw my journal, you know, my journal thing, I mean, I have discovery worksheets all over the place. I do them all the time. You know, I do them all the time. If I go through a whole week and don't fill out a discovery worksheet, I think I have won the lottery. It happens, y'all. It happens. Sometimes multiple discovery worksheets in a week. And it's okay. It's okay. You know, I mean, the patterns that I used to see are different than the patterns I see now, but I still got tired. You know, I always, it's tired and sick. Tired and sick. Those are the two. Got a cold? Oh, we should eat, right? It happens all the time. Yeah, no, I still do all the time. And my judgment has gotten better about it. Like, I'm like, God bless. Again, here we go again. Get out the good old discovery worksheets. And I do. I have like, right here, I got a whole stack of them. Here they are. I have them all at the ready because I need them. They're all right here with me on my desk because I need to fill them out often. Anonymous, I ate 3 pieces of chocolate off plan last night. I think it was just because I was tired and in front of the TV. How do I not beat myself up about it? You ate because you were tired and you learned, right? Now I know. Next time I'm super tired and I'm just sitting in front of the TV, I'm probably going to want to eat. What am I going to do? What am I going to tell myself? That's the whole thing. Every overeat, Corinne always says, never waste an overeat. It is a learning opportunity. It is an opportunity for you to say like, oh, how can I, you know, what can I do differently next time? That's weird. I was just tired. Wonder why I went to chocolate. What can I do next time? What am I going to plan for next time? That's really where it starts. Just looking at it as like a movie. This is what happened to me last night. Wonder why. Wonder what happened. Wonder what I can do different next time. When you start to put your brain to work on a solution, the beatdown gets a little bit more quiet and a little bit more quiet because it's busy. It doesn't have time to beat you up. It's like, oh, wait, we've got a problem. We've got to solve. We got a solution. We got to fix. We got to figure out what we're going to do next time. And then it kind of quiets it down a little bit. Yeah. Does it mean that you're never going to lose your weight because you ate 3 pieces of chocolate? No. Delete. We ain't got time for that foolishness. It's just time to learn, right? Sherry, January baby. I have trouble choosing a specific snack in advance, so I've created a snack list. for the week of 6 to 10 different choices. Is this okay for now? Absolutely it is. It's whatever works for you. If you are happy with what you're doing and you're losing weight, good for you. When I feel like I get some traction with my 4 basics, I think I will level up by scaling back the snack list. That's absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. It's exactly what I would do if I were you. You're right on it. Jen, I have been doing some TDLs on interactions I have with a negative coworker. We have worked together for 5 years, and historically she is very negative, passive aggressive, and does bullying behavior. My TDLs are uncovering a habit I have of avoiding conflict and friction. We are currently having a lot of conflict. I'm working on my thoughts, trying to get out of a victim mindset. What are some things I can tell myself while I'm figuring this out so I don't have so much anxiety and fear about interactions? I'm losing sleep and miserable. This is what I'm going to tell you. I'm about to blow your mind right here, Jen. She is very negative. That's a thought. That is a thought that you have about her. She may feel like she is exactly where she needs to be, and it's not negative at all. That's your thought. She's not like you. She's not positive like other people, so she must be negative. That's just your thought. Passive aggressive, that's your thought. And does bullying behavior. You know, I mean, I don't know what that looks like, and I'm not trying to downplay bullying at all, because I know that it is 100% real, and it is, my child was the, you know, had been bullied, and it is no joke. So that, I may give that one to you. I don't really know. But you are avoiding conflict and friction because of the story that you tell yourself about her. She is who she is, right? She says words, and you interpret them as negative and passive aggressive. You can choose to keep telling yourself that story, or you can say, you know what? She's just saying words. That's just how she is. That's just how she is. And you get to react to it, because right now you're saying you're giving her control over you when you're not even there with her, right? Corinne talks about that in the accountability course. Can y'all tell I listened to it today? Because I'm spouting it out today. She talks about, like, if there are people that are, you know, not very supportive of you, or like negative kind of around you and that kind of stuff, you may not be able to get away from them, but you can absolutely get away from them in your mind. Like, she is going home with you. She's going to bed with you. She's doing all that stuff with you because of the story that you're telling. You're bringing her home from work. She's like hanging out at your house, right? So she is who she is, and she stays at work. And if I see her, I see her. And she can say any words she wants to. I know who I am. That's where I would start with that. Because right now you are bringing her into your home, into your evenings. Janine, yes, I want to be a person who figures this out. That's exactly right. Mama Mac. You posted again. I got you, boo. Baron. I have lost 31 pounds. It's starting to really follow PNP in September. Started the course in January. Hashtag January baby. You won't be for long. In April, when the tribe opens, you'll be an elder. You'll be an old lady. I have my workbook and have yet to complete a week in journaling. Why do I have a problem writing down all the things? I'm going to just be honest. I didn't journal at first either. But that was my level ups. I really did. Like, I committed to journaling 3 times a week. That was my first, like, I had never written. I had never journaled. I had never kept a diary. I was not even a Dear Diary girl. I'm not like Corinne. I was not always writing. And it was very foreign for me to write. And so that was like my monthly goals at the very beginning. Like, not even at the very, a few months in. Like, I'm going to be a person who journals 3 times a week. I'm going to be a person who journals 4 times a week. I'm going to be a person who journals 5 times a week. And I did. I leveled it up like that. So I got in the habit of it. And then I got really, like, it was like therapy for myself. Like, I was helping myself out. I loved it. And so, you know, I just got better at it. So that's what I would do. Don't, you know, it's okay. All right. I'm going to answer a few more, and then we're going to get off of here because it is 7 o'clock. Danny, how on earth can I get myself to intentionally move? I have tried scheduling even 15 minutes, but I'm not making it happen. I was a competitive, then professional dancer, and I've let myself go. Here we are 20 years later, and I think perfectionist thinking is stopping me. Help me. I will tell you how I became an exerciser. I have told this story before. I wanted to be an exerciser. I was not an exerciser at all. So I sat down and I wrote, Corinne had done like a free podcast about like morning routines or something like that. I think it was like even before I joined. It's in the way back podcast. I don't even know where it is, but it was about crafting your morning routine. And so I wrote down, like, if I could craft my ideal morning, this is exactly what it would look like. You know, I would, like, you know, exercise, I would get dressed, I would drink coffee, I would do da da da. Then I went back and looked and I said, what can I do to make, like I wanted coffee. So then I became a person. I knew in order to do that, I had to make my coffee at night. So that was like my first level up. I got my coffee ready so that it would be brewing in the morning when I woke up. Then I started laying out my exercise clothes at night. So this is honestly, y'all, what I did. For about 3 or 4 weeks, I laid out my workout clothes the night before. I got really good at the habit. And then before I even left my room, I would pee, put on the workout clothes. Corinne even sleeps in hers. I've never gone that far. But I put on my workout clothes immediately, like that minute before I even left my room. And you know what I would do? With my little tennis shoes on and my cute little, well, we're very cute, but it was my workout outfit. I would go pour my coffee and I would sit in the chair and watch the news. There you go. That was it. Until I got really good at it. I got in the habit of, like, I get up, I put on my workout clothes. That's what I do. Then I decided that I was going to start exercising. And exercising was 5 minutes around my living room. So I would get up, put on my workout clothes, sit and watch the news until like 5 minutes before I had to get in the shower. And then I would walk in my living room for 5 minutes. That's where I started. And then I just kept building up. I'm telling y'all, I am like the poster child for 1% level ups. I am like proof that it works. I am the 1% level up queen. I'm the running coach, the 1% level up coach, and the wine drinking coach. Apparently, that's who I am. But I'm telling y'all, if you think that getting up and just putting on workout clothes and sitting and watching the news is not going to work, it will. It will. 100% it will. And now I'm running half marathons. Look at me. And I'm teaching y'all how to run half marathons. It's amazing. Anonymous, I'm new and struggle with doing great some weeks and not great others. Do you have any other advice for how to believe I can succeed at this? I know the key is to change my mindset to a positive one, but this seems so much easier said than done. This is what I want you to do. I know exactly what you need to do. So if you are a person who plans super well for a week and then you don't plan, the week that you plan really, really well, at the end of the week, I want you to really notice your thoughts. What are you telling? You're telling yourself different that week than you told yourself the first week. Like, I'm on fire. I'm going to get this shit done. I'm a person who plans. I'm going to show up for myself, whatever it is. You're like on fire. And then at the end of that week, you're like, this is never gonna work. It's the weekend. I don't feel like doing this. And whatever. It's your thoughts have changed. You wanna make a note of what you were saying at the beginning of that week and what you're saying at the beginning of the next week. And the beauty of it is you now have evidence that you follow your plan for a week and don't. What awesome news is you have a pattern. Now, at the end of week one, you're like, I know what generally happens, and I'm making myself a plan so that it does not happen again. This time, I'm going to get past Sunday when I haven't been able to get past that second Sunday before. I am committed to sticking to my plan on this Sunday because I know what's been happening, so I'm going to make a plan because you know your pattern. You know, like a lot of people are like, I just don't know what happened. I was planning for a while and then I wasn't planning. You're like, I plan for a week and then I don't plan. Data. What are you going to do at the end of that week? What are you going to tell yourself? How are you going to show up? If you plan, you know, Monday through Friday, and then you know on Saturday you don't plan ever, well, then you know what's coming. You have plenty of opportunity to plan for that to happen again. That's exactly what you do. Notice those patterns, collect that data, and decide how you're going to show up when it happens again, because it does show up, right? It's been showing up. Let me see. Oh, it's the same. I already answered that one. I don't know where that came from. I had a few more. Laura, start a new job on the 15th, and the closer it gets, thoughts of self-doubt are coming more. Hello, just became a life coach with Corinne. I got you. I have lots of counter thoughts to go with them, but would love to hear your talk about how you felt when you became our newest coach. Oh, look, you read my mind. I would imagine you had a range of thoughts with a range of emotions. You're really doing a great job, and I've enjoyed your coaching calls. Yes. I really was like, every day I write down in my journal, I'm enough. I am enough. And in the life coach school, I was having a really hard time with even being the running coach. Because I was like, I'm not like a running coach. Like, that was really my biggest struggle, was coaching DSB. I mean, I'll be honest. I was like, who the hell am I? And even now, whenever I run and I'm having a hard time, I'm like, who the fuck am I? I'm having a hard time getting out of myself. Like, I really did have struggle. And I got coached whenever in school one night. And Bev Aaron is my teacher, who happens to be Corinne's coach. And she said, do you know how you know you're a running coach? How do you know you're a running coach? I was like, well, I don't know. I haven't done this, I haven't done that. She said, because you say you are. You are because you say you are. And I was like, you know what? That's true. Like, I am because I say I am. I just kept telling myself that. Like, if I say I am, I'm going to show up like I am. And if I show up enough times like I am, then I really am. Because when you show up as that person, you are that person. And so that's really what I just keep telling myself. I mean, I am a coach because I am. I just am. That's why I just keep reminding myself. Because I wake up every day and I say, I am a coach. I love these women. I love this program. It has changed my life. Like, I just really, and I think that, like, there's a lot of, like, anxiety and, like, questions about, am I going to be good and all that other kind of stuff. When you start a new job, always. And that's normal. But the beauty of it is that you feel a little bit anxious and you're a little bit scared and you do it anyway. And when you do that for yourself, when you don't know for sure that you can do it, you know, that's self-confidence, right? Like, you are like, you show up even without evidence that you can do it. You can do that in food. You can do that in work. You can do that with your family. You can do that with your friends. Like, once you start to collect, like, I can do this even when I'm nervous. I can do this even though I don't know how to make it perfect. I can do this even when I don't believe it 100%. I just keep moving forward. Like, you get so much power from that. And that's what I'm getting my power from. It's just believing it. Girl, I am. I am because I say I am. I think that there's like a song. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. Timmy, the whole planning thing is just really overwhelming for me. I am shifting back and forth from two houses and every day is unpredictable. What are some ways I can make planning less overwhelming? Like, maybe putting down what I won't have for, or putting down two different things. Girl, I put down two things all the time. That's fine. That's completely fine. If you don't know if you're, you know, what you're going to have or where you're going to go or whatever, put down two choices. That's fine. It should not be overwhelming. It's just right now what you're going to eat. Give yourself a couple of choices at first. That's totally, totally fine. Christine, I've been in the tribe almost 2 years and have lost 20 of 70 pounds. So often my thought is this one meal or this one snack doesn't matter that much. I use this thought almost daily. Really? Delete. That's crap. It does matter, right? Because if you're using it every day, you've got seven meals. It 100% matters. Just be like, that's crap that I used to tell myself, and I don't believe that anymore. It's just crap. I don't believe it. I know it matters. And you know how I know it matters? Because I'm not getting where I want to go. That's how I know it matters. Y'all, I'm telling you, identify those thoughts that you're having. And just call crap on them. It's just bullshit. You know? I mean, we have the no BS weight loss program, and then, but we all come here with a bunch of BS thoughts, right? That we have to figure out what is true and what is not true, and what we want to believe and what we don't want to believe. And there's a lot of crap that we've been telling ourselves all this time, and we believe all of our lives, and we believe that it is so true, and none of it's true. None of it's true. The person that I thought I was, is I can't even believe that I thought that about myself. I can't even believe the thoughts that I allowed myself to just tell myself, and they weren't true at all. And I lived in like this brain fog of like, you're no good. You'll never lose weight. You're never going to do anything. You're never going to be anything. You're never going to figure this out. And when I started to see that that was just a story, it just gave me so much power. It just gave me so much power. You know, I used to think I was lazy. I looked around. I mean, hell, my house is fairly clean. You know, I mean, I had a job. Like, the lazy story was shit. It's not even true. Lazy people don't wash their clothes and clean their dishes and get to work every day and raise a family. That's not what lazy people do. Like, that was my biggest one. Like, I was always like, I'm just so lazy. What the hell? Like, you were an active adult in society. You're not lazy. Like, just stuff like that. Just identifying, just shit you say. Being like, delete. I'm not going to tell myself that anymore. And the other thing I always ask myself when I'm beating myself up, y'all know I have three daughters. Would I let anybody speak to my kids this way? I'd beat somebody's ass. If I heard somebody talking to them the way that I'm talking to myself all day long, I wouldn't allow it. The way I was speaking to myself, if I had been in a grocery store and heard two people that I didn't even know, I would have intervened. I'd have been like, what the hell? Why are you talking to her that way? So, and it's just not true. It's just not true. And I mean, look, y'all are all in this family with us. Like, we're all here together. Like, what a great place to be. We are in the best place on earth. We have the biggest, you know, ahas and like the biggest secret that we need to share with everybody, because we are going to figure all this out. We're going to learn how to speak to ourselves. We're going to learn how to have our own backs. What a gift you can give yourself. What a gift you can give your kids, right? Show them what it's like to have your own back. Love it. Love it. And I'm telling y'all, you know, I have a daughter with anxiety. She was struggling yesterday. She went to class. And because I've done this work, do you know what I was able to tell her? I said, look at you. You have been, because sometimes her anxiety, she won't go to class. She just lays in her bed and does nothing. And I'm like, you are proving yourself right now that you can have anxiety and you can have bad feelings and it's okay. And you could still go to class. Look at you showing up for yourself. The only reason I could show up for her like that is because I've learned how to show up for myself like that. And I'm helping her now because I helped myself. And I was like, that's shit. I'm telling myself. That's why this work is so important, y'all. All right. I've gone way over time. Gone over 20 minutes. Y'all, Have a great weekend. Plan your drinks, plan your food, right? Hashtag plan your drinks, plan your food. And I will see y'all next week. I think I have coaching or something next week. Just check your calendar. I will talk to y'all later.